You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. Everybody step on in. Doors are wide open. We've got a great show for you today. I'm Shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Doing good. My head is 2 pounds lighter because I finally got a real haircut. No offense, honey. I finally got a nice, almost crew cut again.
Oh, back in the Navy.
Yeah, not quite as bad. Didn't trust the wife with the scissors, though, or the trimmers, the clippers.
You piss her off and zip.
Right. I don't know why you need these ears when you never listen.
Oh, good stuff. Come on into the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, hedge against the rage machine. We want to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing those strategies for getting gains and cutting losses, though apparently I don't apply them. I don't know about you.
I've been doing a lot better.
Good. So if you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you should probably start out with our knowledge center on financialineptitude.com, or you can give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. Best place we think to be is on our Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day, sharing trade ideas, news stories, stock charts, technical analysis. It's really just a great, awesome place to be. So when you sign up, make sure you get us a private message or shoot us an email. If you give us your mailing address, we're more than happy to send you a Smash It Yourself mug or shot glass straight from the shop.
Or both.
We're just really glad you're all here. Or both. Yeah, we're doing both for limited time only. It's limited. We just don't know when that limited time ends.
I can tell you. I mean, I think we got about 8 more mugs left to give away before I have to order some more.
There you go. Yeah. So, while supplies last, we're just so glad you're all here. We have a lot of fun. It's always better with friends. And speaking of always better with friends, we got some show news coming up, Kyle. Got some friends coming over to the shop?
Lots. We got a lot of friends, apparently. Vico coming this week.
Oh, can't wait.
Tober, we've got lined up with, we got Matt Reiner, Anthony Fatsies, Dr. G is going to be doing another beginner episode with us. Ooh. Changebridge is on the docket. We still got to get George confirmed for the end of month. I'm pretty sure he's winning the bet this month with us.
So
he'll probably have some consequences. November's starting to get booked too, even.
Hey, all right. Yeah, getting busy in the shop. We're going to have to raise the rates.
I don't know if summer is just slower or what, but yeah, it seems like people want to come in the wintertime, fall and winter.
Well, yeah, they want to take advantage of the free heat. Yeah, it's cold out there on the streets.
Maybe if you got AC in your room.
Well, folks, we have a maddening, manic, mournful episode for you today. Well, I'm mournful because of all my fuck-ups this week, but we have lots of market-moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than times people have claimed we were on a break.
Is that a Friends reference or an Elon Musk reference?
Elon Musk, definitely.
Oh, okay. They're on a semi-break. I don't know what that means. That means they've pre-negotiated the who you could sleep with?
No, I think it was, look, I thought when I was in Texas and you were in California, anything goes. Oh, yes. So it's just a great show. And as always, folks, reach out to us. We love your messages and comments. Twitter, Facebook, Discord. If you're old school, you can send us an email, the2bulls@financialneptitude.com, or you can send us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe you stole your boss's magic wand and started animating all sorts of furniture and household items to life, and now you can't get them to stop. It doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out.
That's such a boring movie.
It's about the music, Kyle.
Yeah. As a child, seeing that, thinking it's a cartoon with Mickey Mouse and not being
and,
what you thought.
Wizards.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, Mickey Mouse is a fucking sorcerer. Can't wait.
And there's no talking.
Yeah, not a single line. Oh, anyway, yeah. We'll put a pin in that for, Two Bulls Does Classic Animation episode. Until then, I think we've got some bet results to go over.
All right. I don't think I get to go first either.
Are you sure?
I don't think... Did you make money?
No.
Then go first.
I shorted IBM.
I remember.
Oh, what did they open at? Was it 133.90?
Oh, even better than I remembered.
Yeah. So they opened at 133.90 and it proceeded to just march slowly upward all week. And I think the lowest they got was 132.94 on Tuesday. And then after Tuesday, it was just a run up. It wasn't huge runs, but it closed out the week. It hit my stop at 137 on Thursday, closed out the week 137.49. So I lost money on the bet. I lost $12.37 to bring my total down to $521.78.
We're getting close. I took BlackBerry. They had earnings this week. Get to that when we talk about the stocks. They opened the week at $9.76. They peaked at $11, just over $11, but corrected on Friday to finish at $10.38. So I took my total from $483.55 up to $514.27.
Ooh.
So a $7.50 lead you've got right now. But none of that matters. Random pick TTCF. What is it? Tattoo Chef?
Mm-hmm. The Tattooed Chef.
Yeah. Let's see. TTCF opened the week at 1910. Finished the week at 1901. let's see. That takes random. They lost, I think, a total of $3. Takes them down to $540.98.
Okay. All right. Looking for home runs.
And you know what's going to happen when we lose to random, right?
It's something spicy.
Yeah, something real spicy.
Ungodly spicy?
Yeah.
Oh, ghost peppers. Mm.
I think we're going to be doing that. I'm pretty sure.
No, Kyle, I'm in it to win it. All right. I'm gonna hit a home run this week. I'm motivated. I'm hungry.
Yeah, you're going to have the fire in you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, stay tuned to the end of the episode. We'll make a new bet. We'll find out what sort of madcap we can try to come up with to beat random so we don't have to eat ghost peppers.
Ugh.
Ugh. Anyway, all right. So does that bring us to the news, Kyle?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Talk about some news? All right.
Where we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now, it's time for China Shop News.
Well, I believe we just had some big Fed stuff happen. You want to open up talking about that?
I want to start with the housing market first, get this one out of the way.
All right, let's talk about the housing market.
Because, we talked about the Evergrande thing causing some issues over in China.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have the housing report come out this week, or last week. New home purchases dropped 3% in May and 23.8% over the last year. But last year was also like a record year, so obviously it's going to be hard to beat that.
Yeah.
The biggest problem with housing, though, is that just the inventory levels just still aren't there.
Mm-hmm. I've got a few friends who are real estate agents here in Tucson, and they all are saying the same thing separately. It's just there's no inventory. We can't make any money right now. This is horrible. They're all freaking out.
There's no inventory, and prices have just been skyrocketing, which we were talking about that not too long ago also. But the problem that this is starting to cause right now, which is in this Housing Wire article. What's happening right now is because the purchases are starting to slow down because those people that are buying at the lower price tiers now have nothing to buy. Everything is like they've just been priced out of the market completely.
Mm-hmm.
So until something corrects there, I don't know, this just isn't sustainable. I think we're looking at another bubble here. Question is, when's it gonna burst on us?
The interesting thing that I, because I, you know, I have been talking to these real estate agents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not, you know, obviously not all of them in Tucson. The ones that I've been talking to are saying it's not quite a bubble. It's just normal supply and demand that has gotten out of control. And the demand has gone up while supply has gone down.
But I mean, even like the materials to build houses are shortages across the board. I mean, we saw the crazy run up in lumber prices.
Right. So we're not getting new inventory.
Right. So, yeah, how do they fix this?
Either demand's got to go down for prices to go down, or supply's got to go up. One of those two things.
If you can't, you can't make demand go down because people can't buy enough at this point, and you can't make new houses because you don't have enough materials to make it. I don't know. I think prices are just going to keep going up until something overcorrects. It's going to overcorrect at some point. Just question of when.
We'll see. I just think with a supply demand situation like this, like we're not going to see prices drop significantly in any meaningful future. Like there'd have to be such a huge new housing dump. Like, oh, hey, we just finished 10 million new houses across the country this month. With anything short of that, you might see prices fall back, but I don't think we're going to have anything. If you're eyeing a house for 150 that's currently at 200 grand, you're probably never going to get it at 150.
Okay. Here's where the inventory is going to come from, Dan. All these people that are getting loans for $300,000, $400,000 to buy homes that were 180, you know, 3 years ago, once they start defaulting on those, that's where your inventory comes from.
Oh. Well, so maybe the eviction moratorium has helped keep supply low.
Right.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's that added extra thing.
Yeah.
Good point.
Anyway, the other big thing that happened this past week, too, is the Fed meeting.
Mm-hmm.
No tapering for October, but I think that was expected. But they're saying it could begin, the reduction could begin as soon as November. There is a caveat to that. They're making that contingent on September's hiring activity.
Okay.
But yeah, that's definitely the easing is probably starting this year, probably starting as soon as November. And rate hikes should be coming soon, too.
So they're talking like November, they'll start spending less per month on bonds.
Right. Yeah, they'll start easing the purchases. And inflation's been one of the things they keep talking about. They did release their prediction for 2021 that's raised up to 4.2% for this year. Their original forecast was 3.4%, and that was back in June. And they're still calling this transitory, though. I think their goal, they said, was 2%. They're predicting that next year should be around 2.2%.
Okay.
I don't know how long you can keep calling it transitory when it's, you know. Like, how long does transitory last?
I you know, when I graduated high school at the young age of 18, I said, this is transitory from me being a poor working class fellow to super rich.
Mm, yes, I remember that.
I am still in that I am still in this transitory situation. But I assure you, Kyle, it's only been 20 years, but it's transitory.
Well, at least there's a light to the end of that tunnel.
Oh, yeah, right? And here's the crazy thing is they're going to call it transitory until, like, by the time they stop calling it, it's already happened. It's already been the norm, right?
Right.
So I really feel like this is the don't freak out language. This is, they use language, you know, the Fed, half their job is just to keep people calm.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the kind of language they use to do that. I don't think it's transitory. I think it's going to be years before we get that inflation down.
Yeah, and I think, let's see, Dan North, the chief economist, Euler Hermes. Hermes, your favorite god?
Woo-hoo! Yeah, worship that guy.
He says interest rate decisions, because the interest rate decisions hinge on whether or not the current hot inflation is still transitory. But he says there's a good case to be made that it may be a long time until the supply chain problems are cleared up and input prices will continue to rise very sharply and get passed on to the consumers.
Mm.
Referring to things like the household goods, the cars, semiconductors causing the automobile shortage.
Oh. But
Fed doesn't seem to think that's a problem.
I've got a big story on the semiconductor shortage. Should we pivot or should we keep talking about inflation?
Let's hear it.
All right. Some automakers have been accused of hoarding their semiconductor chips.
I would be if I was an automaker.
Right?
That's a competitive advantage. I don't know why you call it hoarding in that case. If you can lock up the entire supply chain as Ford or Nissan or, you know, one of the other major automakers, yeah, you can put the other companies out of business.
Great for Ford, bad for America. Yeah, let's just put Chevy and GM out of business. Now,
if you were the leader of Ford, that's what you want.
Right?
And then you go buy up all their assets and become a super company.
What? That's never happened.
Yeah, right.
Standard Oil. Oh, sorry. So apparently the Department of Commerce is looking to invoke the Defense Production Act. The government strategy has so far focused on encouraging investments for new semiconductor production.
Mm-hmm.
But they're now looking at the Korean War Defense Production Act. You know, that thing that happened in the 50s.
Okay.
Well, it's a good thing we still have laws on the books to help deal with the Korean War.
Yeah. A lot of good things came out of the 50s, right?
Right. So they're looking to use the Defense Production Act to force manufacturers to provide the information to the government on all their semiconductor supply lines and chip sales.
Mm-hmm.
So right now they're just like, okay, this is just voluntary, but we'd like you to fill out these questionnaires in the next month that will let us know what your semiconductor inventory and supply lines look like. But it could, the thinking out there is that they're going to make it mandatory by using the Defense Production Act, which, strangely enough, Obama used it, Trump used it. I mean, like, presidents use this thing from the Korean War for broad things.
Ugh. Right.
Yeah. Obama was using it to force telecommunication firms to give information regarding their use of foreign manufactured hardware and software. Trump was using it to categorize what materials would be considered essential to national security and to ensure certain sectors of the economy, like food production, would remain open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's this Korean War Defense Production Act that's given presidents these powers to meddle in the free market. Those bastards.
Kind of hard to argue against what they were doing.
It is. I'm being facetious.
Okay. I want to be outraged as a believer in free markets, but at the same time, like, we kind of need more semiconductors. It's getting kind of ridiculous at this point.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But the concern is, and from what I understand, now I could be reading into this with my own biases, but I think the concern is if you're a company like Ford hoarding semiconductors, those semiconductors don't just help in trucks. Like, we use them all over the place. Yes.
Right. All right. So the government's fixing the semiconductors for us.
Yes.
Yay.
Real quick, we didn't talk about the flip side of that is like if a company like Ford's in a mad panic to hoard semiconductors, if in the coming months the supply chains do open up and the shortage is gone, they bought a shit ton of semiconductors at an inflated price. That's going to hurt them bad.
Yeah, that's a good point. So who is hoarding? Do we know who's hoarded at this point?
We don't know yet. The White House is trying to figure out.
So the question is, are you buying the companies that are hoarding or selling?
Well, that's just it. This is why investors would like to know in advance.
I think I'd want to be owning those companies right now, preparing to sell them later.
Well, we'll find out eventually.
Yep.
Eventually.
All right. You got any other stories before we move on?
Yeah, I got one about Blue Origin.
Oh, is this the one about the Shat?
This is about the Shat.
The first Shat in space in Blue Origin.
That's right. William Shatner, none other than Captain Kirk, at the age of 90. Is going to be the oldest man ever flown into space. Next month, he's going to get on a Blue Origin rocket for a 15-minute space flight.
Nice.
And they're making a big documentary about it.
So, you're a Trekkie, right?
I am.
All right, I think this is a good poll question then. which line do you think that Shatner's most likely to say when he goes to space? I'm not as big of a Star Trek fan as you are, but the one that, you know, pops to my head is obviously, we need more power.
We need more power, Mr. Scott. I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. I can't give her no more.
What other iconic lines does he have?
Space, the final frontier.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, the intro to every episode. God, are we talking Shatner quotes or Kirk quotes?
I think it needs to be Shatner.
Shit.
We'll say iconic Star Trek line, because I think Space, the Final Frontier is probably a good one.
I thought friendship was the final frontier. I'm not good on the quotes.
We talked about one before this episode. What is your risk is our business?
Oh, yeah. Did you write it down?
I just wrote down risk is our business.
Yeah, that's a good quote. That's from an episode.
Jesus Christ, Dan.
Well, I closed out that webpage because I was like, yeah, Kyle's got it.
I thought I was throwing you a curve. I thought I was throwing you a softball.
Yeah, and you didn't realize that I've been dropping the bat a lot.
I noticed. You're also holding it upside down.
Yeah. He's got God! That's one of his famous quotes.
Okay, wait, I like that better than risk is our business. I'm throwing that on there. All right, so we've got...
One of my favorites, what does God need with a starship?
I don't think he's likely to say that.
No, probably not.
Okay, I think, what iconic Star Trek line is Shatner most likely to say when he goes to space? So we got Khan screaming, we need more power, and Space, the Final Frontier, are our three choices.
Okay.
And then obviously, if you got a better one, then throw it in the comments.
I like that Twitter poll.
I do too. All right, time to move on.
I think.
Some loans are just a big mistake. In up over your head. Drowning in those rates and fees. Someone left unsaid. Choose the right kind of lender to find the thing that fits your needs. Cause you know that she was born to be. She's a homemaker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up and see? She's a homemaker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up? Go, go, go!
Two Bulls in a China Shop is proudly brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners purchase, refinance, even do reverse mortgages. Sue will help. So if you found a home that you can buy in this crazy market, she's licensed in 27 states, so you can reach out and see what she can do for you. The best way to reach Sue is to just give her a call at 520-977-7904, or you can shoot her an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number, 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number, 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com, and that phone number is 520-977-7904 for all your mortgage needs.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is also a proud affiliate of the Trade Pro Academy. Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Translation, Dan?
You can trade like a pro. Wait, you can trade like an institution. You can get institutionalized trading. Wait, no.
That's close enough. They've got a great staff of highly knowledgeable, successful traders, which we're hoping to soon become a part of. As you listen to the show, though, you know that we're not there yet. And there's no better place that we've found to learn all you need to know to be a successful trader. You can find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description. It's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills. And we are scheduled to talk to George this week, so hopefully we can get some clarification on what we need to do to get a discount for that affiliate link.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll have something to announce with that soon.
Sounds good to me. Can't wait to get that discount affiliate link.
I really hope we get that soon, because I know there's a couple people that have been itching to jump in. I'd love to get some more eyes in our Discord.
Yeah, right.
Looking at it with the... Yeah, bringing more stuff to us to look at. Checking our work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait to post a chart and have people in the Discord be like, you idiot, that's wrong.
What about this level? Buy it there, buy it here. Oh, fuck, he's right.
Right? God damn it, he's right. Son of a bitch.
Let's do some stocks. Give me a stock song.
Talk about some stocks. Stocks!
Just put those stock tickers on the list. Go through the charts so nothing gets missed. Today's trades, they could all turn to gold. I'm playing stocks till I'm out of the hole.
Oh, I found a couple of good stocks to have my eye on this week, for sure.
I mean, I had a couple that I wanted to touch on BlackBerry's earnings real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Nice revenue spike. I think they beat that forecast by like 91 million. They called it an earnings beat, but it looked like to me it was more in line. It might have been like a 1 cent per share less of a loss than they thought it would be. But the big thing is, though, they did not issue any guidance, and that's usually not a good sign, or at least, you know, investors don't look as favorably upon that. One of the interesting things that happened this week, though, is I saw that the BlackBerry CEO went on the air. I don't remember which program it was. I just saw the headline pop up on my TD Ameritrade newsfeed. But he went on to basically clarify that BlackBerry is now a security software company.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that actually was probably a good move on their part, because most of the people I've ever mentioned BlackBerry to, and
they go, oh yeah, the phones.
When explaining my bull case, yeah, look, they think I'm crazy. Like, what? Nobody uses BlackBerry anymore. Like, it's not a phone company. The more people who learn that, the more it should help the stock.
While we're talking about BlackBerry, you know, I actually did make a trade. I was like, I'm going to buy to open some March 18th $10 calls because, you know, I'm bullish long term.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hold these for a few months, and then I completely wasn't paying attention to earnings, and they had the beat, and so I bought those calls at like $1.86, and then 2 days later I was like, oh, I'll sell these at $2.75.
You weren't going to sell them too. I had to prod you into taking profit.
You were nudging me. I sold them all at 50% profit and was like, you know what? I've been watching BlackBerry. It's gonna pull back.
I know. I was laughing when you said that. I'll buy them later again.
Let's buy them again later. Yeah. For cheaper.
I actually made a trade too. I sold a couple of October $12 calls at like 55 cents a contract, just figuring, hey, I'll take a little bit on some of the ones. I think I exercised every $10 call that I basically bought over the last 3 months.
Mm.
So I was sitting on about 700 shares. Figure I might as well cover some of those calls, or sell some cover calls on a few of them.
Right.
Try to make back some of the money I lost on the $11 ones that all, you know, expired completely worthless. Salesforce is the other company I was looking at, and they just released increased revenue guidance for the year 22, fiscal year 22. Man, that stock really took off. I've been waiting, almost a year for this stock to finally break that 270 level again.
Yeah.
Man, it was really running. Kind of sucks, too, because I was watching it on Friday, the day after it had the main big run, like the $16, $17 run up. And I think you traded it to not very good success. But when you sold it, was right when I was wanting to buy it. I'd actually looked at the fight zone then that morning. It was around 281. I thought, man, if it pulls back to there, that's where I want to get it. It came right to that point and then took off again.
Are we ready to talk about my biggest failure of my trading career? Is that what you're bringing up?
Yeah, go ahead. Might as well.
Yeah, because
my point was I missed it because I was watching futures is what I was trying to get at, but I had a great opportunity that I missed out on.
You did have a great opportunity, and the fact that you saw where I was exiting as the entry is just highlights to me how deeply I failed myself. you know, the emotional arc of trading that they talk about,
yeah.
The very first foundational episodes of Trade Pro, like I was at the lowest low, and that's the most dangerous time to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I sold. I had bought the calls in the morning at about $2.07. I bought $182.50 calls. Price peaked $185.65. They were up like 70-some%. Didn't sell any. Didn't take any profit because I was like, no, this thing's gonna run all day, right? Mm-hmm. I know better than the technical analysis. My gut is telling me some good stuff. That's always what you listen to, right? Your gut. No, you don't listen to your gut.
Didn't we just talk last week about having a time limit on these two?
Kyle, I just, that was like number five. Like when I got out was when you should have been getting in. And then it just, cause the moment I got out, peak despair, it just turned around and it started marching back up. If I just held on to them, if I'd been like, oh, I'll call it a total loss. I think they ended the day at 185 something. Like I'd be doing just fine.
Yeah.
I'd be in the green. I'm not going to go through the entire list. Just yet, we'll save that to the end. But I had five critical failures, five big things I did to just really wipe out all of my profits for the week and then some. So,
and that's really worst case scenario, Dan, because you took something that was profitable and then managed to turn it into a loss, and that's like the worst thing you can do.
Oh yes, yeah, I'm aware.
I know, yeah. Man, I feel so bad for you right now.
Well,
I can't even laugh. Yeah, I can. Never mind. I can.
Oh, fuck you! Fuck you! All right. How about I'll circle back around to that because I wanted to go through the list of the failures, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But yeah, CRM.
All right. Kind of run. I might have taken a little too much time. Do you want to talk about one of your stocks that you're looking at this week?
Yes, I want to talk about. I had three lined up, but I'll just pick one. I'm going to talk about Costco.
Well, name the stocks, and then we'll just go into detail on Costco.
Costco, Nike, and Facebook all had some news articles come out this month.
Mm.
This week. And so I pulled up all their charts, and they're all doing something interesting. But I'll focus on Costco, because they just had a really solid earnings. And interestingly enough, in their earnings call, they said that they've got supply chain problems and shortages of... they want to avoid shortages of toilet paper, hand soap, and sanitizing products like they saw last year. Mm-hmm. So they are already implementing buying limits on those. So if you go to Costco, you can only get one thing of toilet paper.
I was just at Sam's this morning, same thing.
Yeah.
God damn, looking at the chart, man. Remember when we were trying to buy that on one of those earnings dips?
Yep.
Back
could've, would've, should've.
300? Oh, man. Fuck me, that stock is doing good. Yeah.
It hit almost 300 in March. It is now 467.75. So I saw the news article, so I pulled up the daily chart, and they just had a huge green candle after earning.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at prior earnings they've had, if it's not a red candle.
Get a nice little run up for the next... No.
Like it, last September.
Yeah.
Last September, they did really good, and they had a run all the way through October, where it was only like one red candle day.
Mm-hmm.
for like a week, 2 weeks. The difference this time, though, they hit all-time highs. Or they hit 52-week highs. It might be all-time. I didn't check.
I'm pretty sure that's all-time.
at the beginning of September, they hit their high of $469.77. And they've been drifting down, and then they had this big earnings. And boom, they are back at $467.75. So they're within, I want to say,
about $2.
Half a percent away from their all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, they break into that all-time high territory, sky's the limit.
It's hard to predict.
Hard to predict how high it could go. So, I'm eyeing that $470 level for Costco. If it gets rejected... The level below is 447. We would want to see it hold there.
That's where I'd like to buy it, but I guess it depends on what it does here in the next couple of days. If it forms a double top, then I probably don't want it anymore.
Right. It forms a double top, might be turning around for a bear run. I think more realistically, it's going to break 470, and then hopefully we'll see it retest. Go down and see if 470 becomes support instead of resistance.
Yeah.
that's the high probability trade right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, watching Costco. You made the list, Costco. You made the list.
All right. Should we move on to some earnings?
Yeah. Let's talk about some this week's crazy earning.
Yeah. There's not much again.
All right. Well, good segment.
Let's see. The 27th, we've got CNXC and Weibo. How do you say that Chinese company?
Weibo?
Weibo? Is that it?
I have no. I'm taking a big guess. I don't know.
I don't know. It's something like that. WB. on the 28th, we've got Micron Semiconductors, MU. Micron's not been doing very well lately, which is kind of surprising with the silicon shortage, I guess, or semiconductor shortage.
Yeah.
You think a semiconductor manufacturer should be doing really well. Nothing interesting on the 29th. On the 30th, we've got Bed Bath & Beyond and McCormick. I highlighted this one because I went and looked at the chart, and it is ranging. Let me pull it back up again. It's ranging between like 83 and 88 right now. And that actually looks pretty attractive to me. If you can pick it up somewhere around $83, if it holds that. But what I'd really like to see is it break that 88. If it can break that 88, then we might be on the next continuation. Because it's on a really nice long-term bull trend. You got to look at the, you know, couple years worth. It seems to be a lot of support at that 83 level.
This is McCormick?
Yeah, MKC.
Yeah, it's definitely doing something.
I mean, the long-term trend kind of looks bearish, but like I said, I like to see it break that 88, see if we can flip the trend to a more positive trend.
Oh, yeah. Short-term, that's a big level. But that 82.50 underneath is going to be a big, big bear level.
If it doesn't hold that 83 to 82, 82 to 83 range, then let's see, you got 80 is another support, and then not a whole lot underneath that.
That 82.50 level has held 3-4 times since last May.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no, a year ago May, last 18 months.
Yeah.
So it's a big, big level. If it breaks through, look out below.
Yep. So yeah, watching 83 and 88 on McCormick.
I like it.
All right. And there was absolutely no earnings on Friday. Like, not interesting. Like, there was actually zero.
Yeah, but they're just shutting down the market for that day.
Yeah, it looked like it. Is it a holiday? It's not a holiday, is it? We don't do Oktoberfest here, do we?
Well, it's the last day of September?
Yeah. All right, before we get to your giant mistakes, I want to talk about one other trade that I made that I was really happy with. OCGN, I had my shares called away on the September expiry for the monthlies.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to sell some puts to get a piece of those again.
That's the wheel.
I just sold the November 18 750 puts. The stock is trading at like 750. I sold those for $1.65. That is insane to me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So even if I get those shares, my cost basis is what, under $6?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy to own those for that price.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and it's been on a kind of sideways, but pretty, a little bit of a bull lift since the summer.
Yeah, and they keep getting, because they're more of like an eye treatment company.
Yeah.
But they also co-developed a COVID vaccine.
Oh, weird.
That I think they recently just, they didn't seek the emergency use, but I think they did, they're getting some positive news on the development of that and getting the permissions to go ahead and start using it. And I think with the COVID Delta variant coming out and becoming an issue, that's what's making this stock react. And I don't really see that going away anytime too soon. So yeah, I'd like to try to get a little more pieces of that to try to take advantage of that volatility while I can. Because even when the news was drying up on it, it still was holding around six, if not a little higher. And you're still able to sell 750 calls for $1, you know, 3-4 weeks out.
And it has stayed above that 200-day moving average this entire time.
Yeah.
It touched it once, I should say, this year. It touched it once in the summer.
Yeah.
And right now, it's riding the 100-day, and it's above it. So, well done on selling those puts.
Fucking great return on that. Anyway, all right, let's talk about your terrible, terrible week.
No, we're going to talk about, we got to talk about crypto.
All right, yeah, let's do some crypto.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
You got any crypto stories for us, Kyle?
Oh yeah, I guess I do. I got the story, actually. China, we talked about them banning the Bitcoin mining. I think we talked to a couple different crypto experts too, and they kind of mentioned that they didn't really see that as that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what the analogy they used was.
I don't remember.
Oh, God, it was good, too. Fuck, whatever. Anyway, yeah, they finally went ahead and just banned all crypto transactions and mining.
Oh, so it's not just mining, now you can't buy or sell it?
Let's see. The blanket ban on all crypto transactions, mining, everything.
Everything. No crypto in China. Wow.
No crypto.
Did the price of Bitcoin react to that news?
Yeah, I'd say it did. Not favorably.
Everybody in China selling all their crypto assets?
China is in this... I'd be really worried about owning any China equity at this point, or anything that China... Oh, God. China seems to be in this pattern right now. They, remember our too big to fail that we saw a bunch of bailouts happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, they seem to be in like a too big to succeed philosophy that they're trying to enact with them, you know, going after Jack Ma and destroying, you know, his involvement with this company. Yeah, that was done. They're looking to break up Ant, that IPO that everyone was looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trying to spin out the financial transactions arm of that. Yeah, they took out Jack Ma. They took out the Ant IPO. Like, I'd just be worried about owning, you know, any of the other major Chinese companies or assets at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're going to do something as sweeping as, like, okay, now you can't... They started with you can't mine cryptos.
They started with you can't mine Bitcoin.
Just Bitcoin? It wasn't...
Pretty sure it was just Bitcoin.
Okay, well, regardless, then they've moved on to you can't do any transactions. We were really seeing the power of the totalitarian state disrupt crypto in a major way.
Yeah,
the Bitcoin price. Yeah, last weekend it was at 47,000. Now it's at 42.
Yep.
Almost tested that 40,000 this week.
I thought it did drop below. I thought I saw an alert. I know Ethereum is below 3,000 now. Mm-hmm. Or was. Yeah, the People's Bank of China basically said cryptocurrencies must not circulate and that overseas exchanges are barred from providing services to China-based investors. Also barred financial institutions, payment companies, and internet firms from facilitating cryptocurrency trading nationally.
Wow.
The Chinese government will resolutely clamp down on virtual currency speculation to safeguard people's property and maintain economic, financial, and social order.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing it for their good, guys. They're doing it, yeah. Love it when a government says that.
This is for your own good. Well, I believe it or not, as time goes by, I find myself I'm completely uncomfortable with how cryptocurrencies exist. I came across a story. You remember we were talking about that Bitcoin mining company that bought the coal plant in Pennsylvania?
Oh, yeah.
That was shut down?
Yeah. Green energy.
Not shut down because it wasn't shut down because... Hey, it's polluting. It was an instance of this was shut down because the green energy is cheaper and it's outpriced coal, okay, which is the market handling things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, they're like, open that sucker back up so we can mine this Bitcoin. They're buying two more shut down coal power plants. And as we talk to these people and I find out that all of these mining operations are just running busy work, I get more and more concerned.
Mm-hmm.
We're literally reopening coal power plants to run computers to do busy work. I do not see this ending well. Like, either we got to find some way to get that busy work to be meaningful work.
Right.
Or the bottom's going to fall out. There's going to be a pushback from all this energy usage. It's just like we just talked about with Shahar.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're doing this to create scarcity, but it's like manufactured scarcity. It's not real.
Right.
I don't have any specifics, but my gut is definitely telling me, like, I don't think this is headed towards a great place.
Yeah, not really. No, especially if I mean, there's a pretty big push for green energy through the government anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, going out, buying out coal plants and natural gas plants, things that the government and the states are actively trying to shut down and replace with greener options. I don't see. Yeah, that doesn't look like it's going to end well. At the
same time, they're talking about a digital dollar, and they're talking about regulating like something. Now China's like, well, you just can't do transactions. Like, you think the officials in charge of our government aren't looking at that, going like, well, that's one way to handle it. What are our options to get people to stop trading these and get them on the digital dollar instead? Yeah, it'll happen. Like we'll see. There's going to be some changes in the crypto space in terms of laws and regulations. And I don't think it's going to be friendly to the people trading crypto.
Did we talk about that last week? The first exchange that actually got sanctioned?
No, did we? I don't remember.
No,
if we did or not.
I found this might be going a little too long, but
yeah,
all good stuff. Yeah, the Treasury actually sanctioned an exchange to fight the ransomware attacks.
Oh.
And that's the first sanctions that have ever been issued against an exchange.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, this came out on the 21st, I think. Yeah, 21st. Okay, no, we didn't talk about this last week. Yeah, they blocked all trades involving the exchange Suex. God damn, I wish they'd pick some fucking pronounceable names. S-U-E-X. Suex. I'll call
Suex.
It. Suex or Suex, whatever. One of those two. According to the Treasury Department, they've determined that about 40% of all of their transactions involve illicit or illegal activities.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that seems a bit. I don't know. Like, how many dollars or what percentage of of the U.S. dollar is used to facilitate illicit transactions?
Oh, probably definitely more than 20%.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's I don't know that saying money is being used, using that as an argument really works when really just people do illegal shit all the time because too many things are illegal.
Yeah, god damn it.
The wind is changing, to back up your point. The Treasury's actually sanctioned an exchange. China has made its steps. Buying up coal is not a good way to put a spotlight on your industry.
We reopened this closed coal plant so our computers can run. Oh, what are they doing? Are they curing cancer? No, they're just doing busy work.
And to tell you how terrible of a person I am, I just want cheap video cards again. Try to price one of those out. I'm like, what the fuck? Crypto, knock it off.
What? Right? We're talking about semiconductor shortages. And these firms are buying all these chips for busy work to a point where you're priced out of being able to buy a video card for your computer.
Yeah, something that normally would cost like $200 is like $800 right now. It's fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope we didn't just piss off all our crypto fans, the ones who specifically asked us to talk about crypto, and now we're just kind of...
Well, they're allowed to disagree with us, Kyle.
True.
In fact, if you disagree with us, hop on that Discord.
Tell us. Yeah, Pick up the phone and give us a call. Yeah. Yeah, please.
Dare I say, call me an idiot. It won't be the first time.
It won't be the first time today.
And it won't be the last. Oh, and on that note,
draw. Kyle.
Ah, you got me. Oh, I had a minor good this week, selling those BlackBerry calls at a profit.
I would say that was good. I'd even put your CVM or your CRM trade as it started good.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I'll definitely get to it on my ugly. But here, let me tell you about the good that came out of my huge disastrous kick in the nuts.
Well, not even I'm talking about the trade in general. Like, it started good. You were up 70%, you said, at one point. That's a great trade. Yeah.
Yeah, I made a great trade. I turned a great trade into a terrible trade. But I feel like I managed to turn a terrible trade into some good in that. I shut off all my machines and I went and took a 40-minute walk through the desert there near where I live. And by the end of it, my resolve was hardened to do good with the futures watching. My mind was more open to what am I not seeing? What am I missing in watching my futures? Like how can I do this better for when I'm live trading futures? I used that negativity to fuel my desire for growth and wanting to be better. To look at myself with a little bit more humility and say, well, Dan, you miss stuff and you make mistakes. Like, you need to apply your mind to being better at learning, better at observing, better, you know. So I was able that second half of the day log in and watch futures, and my notes were phenomenally better.
Mm-hmm.
Way better. What I was like, I felt like it really lit me on fire for terms of like watching what was happening with the futures. And I wrote it all down, and a couple of dachshunds decided to eat it.
Oh, that's awesome. That actually
you
happened.
Can go. It did happen. It did happen. The dogs ate my homework. You can go on the Discord and see proof. I did post a photo. It happened. Yeah, teach me for taking the dogs this morning.
I'm assuming that this trade is going to probably dominate the rest of the bad and the ugly portion, so I'm going to hold my comments until the end.
What was your good cop?
God, it's got to be the return on those 750 puts on the on OCGN. Goddamn, getting $1.65 on those. Just also,
did you sell those at the high of the day?
I think it was at the high or pretty close to it. I got them right at the end of trading, like the last 5 minutes on Friday. I threw another order in to try to double it a little bit higher to see if I get any takers, but didn't get anything else. Excuse me. I'll be watching that next week to see if I can add, because I only took about half the position because I was wanting to get some for October to try to actually get the shares. But anyway,
the shares put to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my good. So what was your bad?
Probably, well, let me pull up the Discord here. IBM, I bought puts to back up my bet. And, it started drifting up, and on the 21st, I first bought them on the 20th, on the 21st, when the Tuesday, and it was going up.
Yeah.
I said, no, this is, I'm still right. And I added to them
again.
Yeah. I bought them on Monday at $1.05. I added to them on Tuesday at 70 cents. I sold them Thursday.
Yeah, I think it was like 15 cents. I think you got them.
Sold them Friday for 15 cents.
Yeah. Well, at least you got something for them.
Yeah. Yeah. At least I got out before it was zero.
Yeah. you added.
Yeah. So I added. Now, it wasn't like I added them because my gut said I was right. I was still looking at the daily. That's why it was bad and not ugly. It's not like I had two competing uglies.
Yeah. Well, here's the question. Was the ones that you bought on the 20th, was that your full position?
No.
Okay. So you had room to add.
I intended to add.
Okay. Then it's not that bad.
So, yeah, I was looking at the daily, and I was like, it's got to break 137.25 before I decide, like, this isn't just a regular pullback from a downrun. Like, this is changing direction and sentiment. It was when I added, it was still below the 200-day moving average, and then Thursday it popped above it, and it was not, I was waiting Friday to see, like, oh, it could easily be resistance, you know, pops above one day and the next day it shoots back down, but as Friday showed, it did not prove to be resistance. So it
sounded like you were hoping more for, you were out of time by that point, is what I would say.
Well, no, I still had another week. Those were October 1st expiries.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
It's just Friday I got out because it broke one, you know,
yeah,
this way.
Broke your resistance. On
my bet, I said the stop was 137. And for my calls, it was really 137.25. And it broke that. So my exit was solid because I picked the point where the stock gets past this point, I'm out. It just happened to be that where I bought my puts at, my strike was not conducive to any value at that point.
So going back to risk management then, what was your total loss on that? Was it more than your allowable loss, or did you still manage to keep that within your risk management allowance?
That was in line with my allowable loss.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So then, yeah, getting 15 cents for them saved you money.
Hey, Kyle, what was your bet?
missing that opportunity to buy that dip on Salesforce. That was kind of, I picked it out. I had an idea for what I wanted to do. I had a plan that worked fucking perfectly, but I was spending most of that day on Friday, you know, working on my futures sim trading plan. So it's kind of hard to do both. I don't know. It's a bad just because it was a missed opportunity, but I'm kind of reaching because I didn't really do a whole lot.
Gotcha.
It could have really fucked with my head, but it really didn't. It just kind of like solidified, like, that to me, like, the growth is progressing. I didn't look at it as much as a missed opportunity, as in shit, I'm getting better at picking these entry points. Like, I need to be spending more time to try to take advantage of these. Do you want to get into your ugly, or should I do mine? Because I don't really
Do yours. I won't be talking too long. Yeah. I'm just going to list my failures.
I did 3 trades, so I mean it's hard to have an ugly when you don't really do any trading.
<You're right.
laughs> So I was going to submit. You had your notes eaten by your dogs. Yes. Spilled tea all over some of mine, so I think it's our handwritten notes, like the way we handle those. That's our ugly. We probably need to safeguard these better. We're using them for record keeping. They need to be legible at some point if we want to go back and learn from them.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Let's hear the full rest of the story here. The notes you had.
All right. I took a great trade and I turned it into a big loser. Fail number one. No stop loss order. No stop order.
Mm-hmm.
None. Didn't create it. Didn't even think about it. Not gonna lie. I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Didn't even cross my mind that I should be doing it.
Yeah.
Number two, I did not take profit.
Yep.
Over 50, you know, it hit, it was in the 70%, you know, not for like 10 minutes, but for like a minute or two.
Yeah.
Should have taken profit.
Yep.
Should have sold half of it. Yep. Have done that.
Yep.
Nope. Fail number three, I was not trading my plan. I was listening to the Trade Pro Options call room. And I wasn't listening to myself. I was listening to what they were saying about CRM. And Vico was talking about the bull flag. The bull flag's liking the bull flag setup. So I thought, well, why take profit? Vico likes the bull flag. Why follow my plan? This person over here is saying these things.
So going forward, what changes are you making?
None.
No?
The changes, I obviously I need to follow all the things I've learned and not fail at every opportunity.
No, that's, you're being kind of hard on yourself. I think that you got to. I think the best thing, well, one, taking the break and then walking away was awesome. That's something that I don't think that we do enough of. If you just don't have it that day, or if you feel it slipping out of control, you got to do something to stop it, right?
Mm-hmm. The real thing that I'm taking away from this is there's not anything new that I need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to apply the things I already have learned.
That's an excellent point. Because again, like the trade itself, I think was an excellent trade. Jeez. All right. Should we go move on to a bet?
Yeah, I'm ready to make a bet.
All right. What do you got?
Oh, shit. I go first?
I know you're not used to it. I think this is the first time this month.
God damn. I'm gonna go with CRVS, Corvus Pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
Pharmaceutical companies can have big swings. I don't know what their news was, if any, but they last week started going up on the 17th. They, on the 21st, they peaked. I mean, we're talking, they moved from a couple dollars a share up to $9.5. So I'm running a Fibonacci on that, and I'm looking like, okay, it's pulled back. It might pull back down to 577, but the two spinning tops tell me that it could be just coiling for a break higher. The volume is really, really gone down. Mm-hmm. With those red candles. So I don't know. It's I'm looking for a home run. So it's way riskier than the Costco trade, but, yeah, CRVS, Corvus Pharmaceuticals.
Are you buying or shorting it?
I am buying. I guess I'll take half profit at $9.5.
Yeah. I guess I'll take 30% return.
Yeah. Almost 50.
Yeah.
What's your bet?
I think this time I only had one on here. So a Discord user asked us to take a look at a airline company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Azul.
AZUL. Yeah, it's like the biggest airline company in South America. So I was looking at the chart, and I see it banging up against a level right around 2178. I want to short it until it gets down to 1875, and then I was just going to take profit there. Or no, I was going to actually flip to long at 1875 if it drops that low. Also, if it breaks 23, then rather than staying short, I'm just going to flip to long at that point, because that would be the previous peak. If it breaks above that with that double bottom that it's looking at on this daily, then I want to be on the long side of this. So yeah, I'm going to start out shorting it unless it's above 23, then I want to be long. And then if I'm short, then I want to flip to long either at 1875 or 23.
Okay. Seems reasonable.
Let's see. What else have we got? Oh, we need a random. This looks like it just picked Purple Innovation.
The bed company?
Yeah. PRPL. It looked like it picked a warrant, but I'm just going to say it picked the stock.
Is it going to short it or buy it?
Buy to even
heads,
short.
Heads or tails?
Yeah. Just roll a dice.
Yep, there we go. All right, it's odds.
So, what are we... Oh, that's shorting. All right, shorting Purple.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another stunning episode. Wrapping up, we got to kick you out of the shop, but don't worry. We're going to be opening up again soon. We got great stuff on board happening soon. Kyle, anything you want to get in here before we say goodbye?
No.
All right.
Bye.
Happy trades, folks.
Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.